Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Friends, these are difficult days and many people are hurting. There's pain and anger, fear and frustration, strong emotion and confusion. Where do we turn for comfort and direction? In Psalm 61 and Psalm 62, these are some verses that speak through the millennia that our safety and our refuge, the place to look for justice, the place to look for truth, is in the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. May God help us to rest in him. If you have a specific prayer request and you'd like for us to join you in bringing it to the Lord, call us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. And we'll be glad to take your prayer requests and lift it up before the throne of God. If you would please open your Bibles to Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. We're in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. Colossians 2, beginning at verse 16, and reading through the first 17 verses of chapter 3. This is God's word. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. Let no one condemn you by delighting in ascetic practices and the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm. Such people are inflated by empty notions of their unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth from God. If you died with Christ to the elements of this world, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destined to perish by being used up. They are human commands and doctrines. Although these have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence.
So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In the verses just prior to where we began our reading today, we were reminded that Jesus has accomplished our salvation through his death on the cross. Because of what he did, and we sang about it in our worship, because of what he did, we are forgiven and made new. But in light of that, in light of the fact that what he did bridged the gap between sinful people and a holy God, in light of what he did, we now are to live a transformed life, an entirely different kind of life than we used to live before we knew Christ. Satan is a judo expert. I say that frequently. He will try and pull us in this direction or in this direction, and the direction he tries to pull us in is generally whichever direction we are leaning, okay? The goal of the enemy is to have us off balance. And two areas where he does, one is thinking that we've got to keep a bunch of rules. You know, if I want to please God, if I want to go to heaven, I've got to do this and this and this and this, and I've got to do this and this and this and this, and I mustn't do this or this, and I mustn't do this, and I mustn't do that. And so we come up with all kinds of rules that we're going to keep in order to satisfy God. Can't do it. No one, the Bible says, will be declared righteous in God's sight by keeping the law. Not going to happen. Okay, so we don't want to go off the rails in that direction. What's the other direction that he'll pull us in? Well, the idea that basically we just keep on living the way we did before we knew Christ. Just keep on doing the same stuff. But the difference is now we're counting on Jesus to forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? Got a great deal with God. I love to sin. He loves to forgive. It works beautifully. That's not the gospel. That is absolute heresy. But it's where a whole lot of people who call themselves evangelical are today. They have been pulled by the enemy, who is the father of lies, in that direction, thinking that all they've got to do is just say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. For all the hundreds of times that I have sinned against you today, I ask you to please forgive me. Thank you. Amen." That's not it. Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you by thinking that you can do this and do this and not do this and not do that and make things okay with God. And so don't let anyone deceive you into thinking those things are okay. But don't let anyone condemn you either by saying, this is the way. Follow these rules. Paul says, all these man-made rules are of no use in curbing self-indulgence. Now, please notice, curbing self-indulgence is good, but you won't get there by imposing a bunch of rules. So what should we do? Well, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above. In other words, change your focus. Focus on where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you used to live like that, he says. So you're saying actually God does want us to stop sinning? Yes. Well, I was thinking if I could just keep these rules. No, that won't stop you from sinning. The goal is to orient yourself toward the Lord. Does this please him? Is this what God wants me to do? How does this passage end? Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can you honestly do what you're doing for the glory of God? Can you honestly do what you're doing in the name of the Lord? If it's not pleasing to him, don't do it. Well, I was thinking, you know, it's not actually forbidden in the Bible. Folks, what does God desire of you? He loves you. And his goal for you is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's his will. You know, well, I'm afraid if I surrender myself fully to the Lord, he might ask me to do something I'm uncomfortable with. I can guarantee he will. Jesus, his beloved son, said, "Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me." It wasn't comfortable. It was excruciating. The Apostle Paul describes the sufferings that he went through for the sake of the gospel. And he wasn't complaining. He was rejoicing. If you want to serve the Lord, it will be difficult. Not just sometimes, a lot of the time. It'll be difficult. But it will be far, far better than the alternative. It is so much better to be doing the will of God. And in the midst of it, even when there is intense suffering, there will be joy inexpressible and full of glory. There will be peace that passes understanding. But you've got to put to death those things which belong to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. I'm astounded how many folks, not just in our culture, but in our churches, just accept Sexual immorality is an inevitable thing. You know, you can't say no. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but I'm only human. As I've said before, if you're only human, you need to be born again. And if you think that sexual immorality is something that God really doesn't mind, I mean, he understands. It's no big deal. Well, he does understand. And do not think for a moment that people who live in sexual immorality are going to inherit the kingdom of God. God promises repeatedly that that is not the case. Go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again. Sexual immorality. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to define that this way and say I haven't done that. Okay. Next word. Impurity. Ooh. Well, I don't know that I could really describe my conduct and my speech and so forth as pure. Okay. Sexual immorality, put it to death. Impurity. Put it to death. Okay, well, that's impure conduct. I'm just going to keep it in here. Lust, that's the third word. Put it to death. Put it to death. One more phrase here, right after lust. What is it? Evil desire. That's kind of an umbrella term, isn't it? That means desiring stuff you shouldn't. Okay, well, I'm not really lusting, I'm just desiring to do bad things. Put it to death. Put it to death. Don't sit around fantasizing about things that are wrong that you'd like to do. Put it to death. That's what we're commanded in God's word. Put it to death. Evil desire, and then I think that's pretty much the whole list. And there's not anything else there, is there? Oh, greed, which is idolatry. How serious a sin is idolatry?
God had them wipe out the idolatrous people, and then when they fell into the sin of idolatry, God eventually destroyed them too. Yep. So apparently God really hates idolatry. What is idolatry? It's putting something else up there along with God. It's not just putting something else in the place of God instead of God. There were many, many, many times in the scriptures when the sin of idolatry was they wanted to add something to God. Okay? Idolatry is a damnable sin. It's an abomination to God. And if you are guilty of greed, you're guilty of idolatry. You got to put it to death. Put it to death. I've told you before, one of the places where my greed shows up is in the buffet line. I can look down the buffet line. I've got pretty good vision at a distance. I can look down the buffet line and I can see the choicest pieces of chicken in the thing of chicken, okay? And when it gets to the dessert area, I'm really bad, okay? Because they never cut the size piece of cake evenly. And I can see that. And there are people between me and it, and I'm just really feeling like that's my piece. I've already chosen it. Okay? So the fact that there are four or five people between me and it, I've got this, you know, I mean, here's something right in front of me that I could enjoy. But I'm looking down there really hoping that they're not going to get my piece. That's just twisted, folks. But that's where I realize, oh my word, my heart is greedy. Because I want the best piece of chicken, and I want the best piece of cake. I want, I have to put it to death. I have to put it to death.
Well, what would be a way of putting that to death, Pastor Wood? Well, here's a way. This works. When you get to that place and nobody else has taken the one you wanted, take a smaller piece and leave that one for somebody else. But
God left it there for me.
He may have left it there for someone else, and you need to too. I'm just telling you, if you want to put it to death, start putting it to death. Start dying to self. You can do it. And I'm not giving you a bunch of rules. Pastor Wood says when you're in the buffet line, look for the lousiest piece of chicken. And I'm not saying that. I'm not giving you a bunch of rules. I'm trying to give you a perspective. If you are focused on the Lord, you're just going to be glad you got chicken. Amen? If you are focused on the Lord, you're delighted if you're able to eat a dessert. If you are focused on the Lord, you are giving thanks in all circumstances. Look at the way we're supposed to talk to each other. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Be thankful. Giving thanks with gratitude in your hearts. It's not just words. It's about recognizing what he's done for you. Do you realize that if it were not for the grace of God, you would be in the extra crispy bucket? If it were not for the grace of God, we would all be destroyed. We have so much to be thankful for, but I'm having a tough day. Really? I'm sorry. I really am. But let me tell you something. You've got a lot to be thankful for. Oh, I don't know. Set your mind on things above. You won't always feel the truth, but you can know the truth, and you can live the truth. So, we're not going to get there by human commands and doctrines, chapter 2, verse 22. Although these have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. Instead, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, chapter 3, verse 5. And verse 12, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. That's how we're to live. Is that a good description of you? Compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, and forgiving? I'll tell you who it's a great description of. Jesus. And he wants to live his life through you. So surrender to him and put to death those things that don't belong. It's not about obeying a bunch of rules. It's about saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Saying, Lord, please direct my steps. I want to do your will. I want to be in step with your Holy Spirit. Guide me. And you know what? He will. He really will. God loves you more than you can imagine. He sent his son to die for you. But he didn't die for you so that you could keep on living the way that you used to live before you knew him. So, set your mind on things above.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.